Welcome, everyone, to the Rock and Roll and Coffee Show, episode number 78. I am your host, Joe Sebelia. Before we get started with tonight's guest, I want to let you know that we have started up our YouTube channel. So you can go find us, the Rock and Roll and Coffee Show, over on YouTube. And hopefully you will be seeing these conversations in video format. We're jumping on that bandwagon, so wish me luck on that one. Now, tonight's guest is Mike Squires. I've had Mike on the show before. He is a musician who's played with Duff McKagan's Loaded, Harvey Danger, Nevada Bachelors, Alien Crime Syndicate, just to name a few. Mike is also the host of the Couch Riffs podcast and also Golden Shower of Hits podcast. Mike also creates performance videos for his Couch Riffs podcast, where he enlists the various musicians that have been on his show. Some, I believe, have not been on his show, but he gets them all together and does recordings of different cover songs, which are fantastic. So go over to couchriffs.com and you can find all those videos. You can find the podcasts. You can find all about Mike over there. Go check it out. Don't forget to go over to YouTube, hit subscribe, and hopefully we'll be seeing some videos up there soon. Thanks for listening.
Can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
It's like, can we curse here?
You can say whatever you want.
It's like fucking magic.
God damn it. What?
Damn, fucking magic.
This, you know, I don't know if the technology, the older I get, the more trouble I have, just like my father used to have.
That's how it is.
Ah, I thought everything was good, and then all of a sudden, boom, nothing's working. I don't
know. That's my abbreviated autobiography.
Nothing working.
I thought everything was good, and then boom. It wasn't working.
How are you, buddy?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. I might have thrown my back out today. What do you think about that? Terrible.
You threw your back out?
I think I did. Yeah, my lower back. I can't stand up straight.
Well, that's not good. See, it's that old age thing again.
Fuck, man. It's crazy. God. I'm still smiling, though.
You got a lot of guitars behind you there.
I do. I just got a new one. That little guy right back here, right there. Boom, boom.
The bass?
Yeah, it's a little. It's a short scale bass. It's so rad.
Nice.
Yeah.
So things are going well.
Things are going fine. I got no complaints. I could complain, but for what?
What's that do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got a new record out?
I got a record, man. I made a record.
Can you believe it?
I can't. You know, it was a pretty epic undertaking, and I started writing the songs 2 years ago, and they're really unconventional. It's a weird record.
Right.
So I started writing 2 years ago with no intention of tracking the songs, really. I was writing these songs as just like a funny exercise in writing songs every single day. You know, it was just sort of a thing. I would get on the couch, I would write a goofy 15-second song, and I would post it in my Instagram reels. And I thought that was pretty funny and cute. I would just write, you know, I would just write all these different songs, mostly just about whatever I was doing, write about work or write about my dogs. Or
right.
Write about the books on my shelf, because that's what I can see from my couch. And then, I don't know, I just got the wild hair up my ass. I was like, I'm gonna record one of these songs. I'm going to demo one of them and see how it sounds. And it was cool. It was the very first song in the sequence on the record. And so what I ended up doing is writing. There are a bunch of songs that I haven't recorded. I'm thinking about recording them still.
How many songs you have?
There are 11 on the record, and the record is a flexi disc. So I don't know. I don't know what our demographic is, but if they're us, they know what a flexi disc is, because it came in all the rock magazines, right?
Right. And I was thinking about that. I think they actually came in some cereal boxes.
They came in a lot of, you know, unlikely forms.
And for those that don't know what the FlexiDisc is, it's just like a thin piece of vinyl, right?
Yeah, it's a thin piece of plastic with grooves in it, and you can play it on a turntable. It actually, it's so light that the weight of the needle on the plastic, there'll be a little thing on the FlexiDisc that says, place a coin here so that it doesn't slip.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. I have that worked into the artwork. Place coin here. Yeah.
Well, I can't wait to get it. I ordered one when you had them on pre-order, so now I'm just waiting for it.
I'm sorry about the wait.
No worries.
The FlexiDisc printer, of course, like anything, they're like 3-week turnaround. And I'm like, great, take my money. Let's go. And then 2 weeks after I placed my order, they were like, great news, your order is in the queue. Shipping, you know, January 5th or something. It's just like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, so, a little longer.
So, yeah, I recorded these songs, and they're, you know, like I said, they're funny. It's 11 songs on the FlexiDisc, and then 4 additional songs that are in the digital version, the deluxe bonus, digital version.
The bonus versions?
Yeah. And they're, you know, 11 subgenres of rock and Americana and country, and there's a techno song, you know, like a...
Well, that's one of the things I noticed was all the different genres. I mean, was that on purpose, or is that just what came out of you?
Well, you know, you can see the very, you know, first versions of all the songs, maybe all of them except for maybe one or two, on my Instagram. If you go to, you know, I don't know what they're called, highlights. There's like those little
circles.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there's one that says 15 second songs, and you see them there. You can see all of the original versions, which is pretty funny because they all sound pretty similar. A lot of them are pretty close, but then as I started to sort of formulate this thing, it's really less of I'm calling it a solo album, but it's not really a solo album. It's more of an art project.
Yeah. Yeah. And you had other players play on it?
I did have some other players. There are 3 drummers and 1 guitar player. I had Oscar Hogdahl played some drums. He's a guy who I've played with in New York. Great drummer. He is Finnish. I had 2 European drummers. And then I had this guy, Dennis Lieflang, who you might know. He played with Bumblefoot. And he's a Dutch drummer. He lives out in California now. And then the guy who mixes the audio for Couch Riffs is a great drummer. His name's Don Gunn. He played some drums. He played on the death metal song and one other. And then Andy Blacksugar played the lone guitar solo on the album, and it's blistering. And he's incredible. He plays with KMFDM and with Blondie.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Is that the death metal song he played on?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And it's funny, like when you hear, 15 second songs, you think of death metal, you think of SOD or Napalm Death or something. But I don't know if you've listened to the songs, the digital versions.
I have.
That's like glam metal, country, you know, techno. It's all basically what it boils down to is I had this collection of songs. I'm like, what am I going to do with these things? And I thought, well, it all kind of sprouted from this Instagram, you know, this thing to keep me busy at night. I was upstate here without my wife. I'll just make these funny little songs. And then when I started to plot out a plan to go further with it, I thought, how do I expand on this funny concept of the limitations of this 15 second format and sort of expand on how social media affects the way we do things and the way limitations of media has affected the way music and art has been produced forever, you know, really. So I thought, well, in this day and age, it's much different than when you and I were kids, teenagers or whatever. And I thought, nothing feels super original anymore. I'm gonna take these songs and I'm gonna just double down on whatever they're sort of leaning into stylistically.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, this sounds like a grunge song. I'm gonna make it sound just like a Nirvana song. This sounds like,
and it does.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's all very intentional. So the idea is like, just cop styles. Just either be have them be blatant ripoffs of a specific band or a pretty specific subgenre, you know.
Right. Now, are these songs just 15 seconds or did you have
I think there's one song. No, I didn't make any full songs.
Okay.
The whole album is 3 minutes long, man.
Yeah, that confused me when I first got it and I downloaded it. I was
like, oh,
it was like, where's the rest of it?
Well, so part, it's just like a blooming onion, buddy. So I did not put the album on any streaming services, and that's also very intentional.
Right.
It's like everything that I'm doing is leaning into some antiquated form of, I sound so fucking pretentious when I'm talking about it. It's leaning into this some sort of antiquated media format, right? So there's the flexi disc. I don't remember the last time I got a flexi disc, right?
No.
I was so stoked when I found someone that would make them.
How long did that search take you, or did you just Google
not
it
and it came long. Right up? You just Google it and there's like a handful of people
who knew it. Yeah.
It's packaged inside of a book because it's sort of this this exploration of, okay, I'm not going to treat this like anything else I've done in the music industry. I've been a part of a bunch of records and, you know, you make a record, you talk about the packaging, this and that. And I just thought musicians they get just railed at every turn, you know, and we do it voluntarily. Sure. You know, you don't have to sign a bad contract. People sign bad contracts all the time. And because they're naive or because they're desperate or they think they either think or it is the only option they have. But that still doesn't mean that they don't they don't have to sign it.
Right.
It's just, you just don't have to. So, you know, we walk into these things voluntarily, but in the music industry, there's a lot of, there's a lot stacked against the artist that in other industries, I don't think that kind of thing occurs. And so I just thought, what if I just fuck off any idea or any sort of anything that has anything to do with the music industry other than this is a music product. And right. Thus began my sort of like, I'm just going to have as much fun as I can with it. Even the album cover is a ripoff. And I thought, how do I package this thing? And then, so the next logical step to me, which is crazy to most people, but I think probably different than a lot of people.
You on the cover, right?
That's me on the cover, yeah.
With no clothes on.
That's right. That's a ripoff of a Fleetwood Mac album, which is one of my very favorite albums of all time. It's a Peter Green era Fleetwood Mac album called Then Play On. And I always, you know, I've been listening to that record for 25 years, and it was immediately one of my favorite records, a Desert Island record for me. And I've been joking about doing an oil painting of it with me forever. And then finally, I was just like, fuck it. You know, this is a perfect place to do it. But
Did you pose for that?
I did pose for that.
No, you didn't, did you?
I did. There's photographic evidence. My wife took the photographs of me on the couch because I don't have a horse. So
That's
yeah.
great. That's
And
great. That's great.
so then the next step was how do I really package it? Because a flexi disc is pretty insignificant. It's not very, substantial. So I thought, well, fuck. What if I could make the physical materialization of an Instagram account, and the book would read like as if the album in itself was an Instagram account made up of
Right.
only the song. So there's a square image for every song. It's these illustrations by a friend of mine, Matthew Southworth, who's a Marvel and DC comics artist, and
Okay.
he created this graphic novel called Stump Town, which was adapted into a television show for a while. I think it's canceled now, unfortunately, but that was great for him. Really
Right.
amazing time for him. I pitched the idea to him, and he was super into it. And so he did an illustration for every song, and then I the lyrics seemed like one obvious thing that I would have in the book that is an Instagram account. So as you're turning, every page is an image and then some text. And
Right.
so I thought, every song only has a couple of lines of lyrics, What do people do on, people have diarrhea of the blah 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 on social media, so why don't I take the piss and over explain what the songs are about? Because the songs are mostly, almost exclusively about, really bo pretty boring stuff.
Yeah, I know some of them. But you have talk about your dogs and
Yeah, man.
yeah. So you were just sitting around and your dog came by or something. You're like, fuck it, I'm gonna write a song about the dog.
Yeah, I mean, my dog actually in most of those videos is sitting on the old couch that we had with me.
Okay, all right.
Like the
I'm gonna check
camera
those
angle
out.
comes across and I'm playing the guitar and the dog is like beyond us in the camera shot. So, I was mostly singing to my dog. Yeah.
Right. Did the dog enjoy it?
I don't think she cares. I mean,
Ah,
there's a, that's actually one of the lyrics in one of the songs, Rosie Dog, you couldn't care less about my life.
that's great.
So
But
yeah.
now the songs, although they're only 15 seconds, they seem very well written. I mean, how long did it take you to write those?
Fuck. Well, thanks, man.
Yeah.
I think if people hear them, it all happens really fast. So it happens fast, and if you hear just one, you're in and out and you're like, well, whoa, is that it? But then I thought, how do I really do this? How do I really make this work? Because I didn't really want to do a digital release at all. I thought it would be really fucking funny to only release the flexi disc. That's it. That's the only way you
That's
could
the only
listen.
way you get it.
Yeah. And the idea is, you would have you kind of have to listen to the whole record, even if if you had a favorite song, which is funny to think that someone would have, although people, yeah, anyway, you have to listen to the whole thing because unlike a full size record, the songs, the grooves are so tight together. You can't, get
Can't
in there.
find that song.
No, it's like, doing surgery on an amoeba. You just fucking
Right.
can't do it. So, I have them sequenced. I think I did a lot of thinking about the sequence of the album. It has it has an arc, you know, the album has an arc, but the digital version is formatted and released as a single audio file. So you listen to it like you listen to the FlexiDisc.
Right, right.
You don't get them broken up.
You can't break it up.
Well, that's intentional because that's the way I intend people to hear it.
Well, that's how we, like you and I used to listen to records.
Right.
You know, you put it on. Well, at least I did. I put it on and I would sit there until I had to get up to flip the record over.
That's it.
Yeah.
But the, you know, it's very ridiculous.
It's very cool though.
It's funny. It's not a joke. It is like, I mean, I'm not, when I tell people it's funny, but it's not a joke, they think that, oh, well, does that mean he's serious? Like, does, you know, I mean, obviously, no. I mean, I'm serious, but I know what it is. I'm not delusional about what it is.
Right, right. Now, when you were on the show before, and on the early days of this show, you were on episode, I think it was 12.
Really?
But this is episode number 78. So we're moving right along.
That used to be my favorite number when I was a kid.
12?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's what episode you were on. Wow. But you were talking a little bit about making a record, your solo record. So was that the plan back then?
Yeah.
Or did it turn into just the 15 songs? Oh,
that was always it.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. That was always it. It took me a long time that, I do my own podcast and
yeah, you're busy.
A lot of work. I'm making the quarantine videos. That's a lot of work. I have a job. That's a lot of work. I got to wake up at 5 tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I'm with you. Okay.
Every once in a while, lately, we've been talking. You get to hear me talking on the Bluetooth in the loud, loud
truck,
30-foot box truck. That was always the plan. The end product kind of, you know, the vision for it changed a little bit here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the 15-second song thing was always the idea.
Okay. Okay.
You know, I guess if I was given someone an elevator pitch and it was like a business meeting, I'd be like, look, in today's world, you look at analytics. Do you ever pay attention to the analytics on your social media pages?
You know, I don't. I probably should, but I don't.
Yeah, I mean, every once in a while I look. I don't know why, because I don't understand what any of it means. For all the good it does me, I pay attention every once in a while. But the most depressing thing that you'll find in any person's analytics is the engagement. Because, you know, you post a video. I stopped posting my Couchers videos to Instagram because clearly they don't want them there. They want reels. And fucking that's it, right?
Yeah, I hear those reels are the popular thing now, and I don't even know what the hell it is.
It's basically their answer to TikTok.
Mm,
yeah. Okay. So
short clips.
Yeah. So when I'm cutting a video, when I get done, I'll cut a reel, you know, like a vertical thing that I can post for reels. Mm. That's like a teaser for what's going to be released in the next day or two. You right. post one of those. This was the straw that broke the proverbial camel's back. I posted one and it got like 15,000 views. And then I was like, amazing. Finally, you know, finally I'm going to get a small break. So I post the video, which had a host of killer musicians, and it got 32 views. And I was like,
so what happened?
They don't want a full length video on the format, clearly.
Huh.
You know, so I just thought, you know, I don't measure the value of what I do by how an algorithm allows me to, you know, the light of one of those right. things shine through the filter, you know,
mm-hmm.
but at least on that platform, I can't do it. It just devalues what I do. It's disheartening and discouraging to me. And it's, you know, what a drag. So yeah, I'm like, all right, well, fuck it. If you guys don't want it, then I won't give it to you. That's fine.
Yeah, yeah. What platform works best for you?
Oh, the gallows.
What is it? The gallows.
Yeah, that's where people go to get hung.
Yeah, I know that.
that platform, the one with the trap door. I think YouTube is the place. You know,
mm-hmm.
YouTube is the place that I'm trying to focus on now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that probably makes a lot of sense with the videos, but, and with the video podcast.
I really derailed myself going off about the analytics. If you look at those things. People watch, you know, 5 to 12, maybe 15 seconds of a video. That's how long you've got them.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. That's it, really. And you can see, you know, 2%, 3% of people make it to the end of a video.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's like a water skiing kitty cat or something, probably, you know, it's like, what's he gonna do?
Yeah, see, I haven't got into the YouTube stuff really yet.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, there's I replaced the hot water heater in my, you know, in my basement by watching a YouTube video.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have been able to figure it out without watching the video, but there were a couple things that I was like, oh, okay, I should do that.
Mm-hmm.
I did, you know, I replaced a bunch of parts on my old Jeep by watching videos. I think it's amazing.
Yeah, that, yeah.
Humans are clever and funny. As terrible as they are, they're fucking amazing. People are amazing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So
with the analytics, I was like, okay, if this was a product, any other product, you'd be like, all right, this is what the market bears, you know? So 15-second songs, that's what you get. And you get them rapid fire, one after the other. It's like scrolling through social media. And so it's just like, it's this funny art project experiment thing where it's, you know, it's a little bit of a peek into a possible dark future where it's like, all right, well... Here's a cautionary tale, kids. You know, if you don't put your phone down and start paying attention long form, if you don't start reading books or whatever, this is where we're headed.
Yeah. Well, I think it's brilliant what you did with it.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah. It seemed like it would have been.
Before, I mean, like I said, I haven't even gotten the flexi discs to ship these things out. But do you see these boxes back here?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ordered like custom. I just you know, I like to go a little, I like a touch of class with everything. I do. I ordered custom shipping boxes for these fucking things.
They got geez.
Yeah, because what am I gonna do, stick it in an envelope or a padded envelope and have it show up all folded all up
bent up? Yeah.
Oh no, I can't have that happen.
Well, that's awesome. I can't wait to get it.
Before the pay for boxes was even sent, I was already on to my next, and I've got terrible ideas. So this is the first release from my label, right?
Couchriffs label.
The Couchriffs Media label, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And, okay. What do you got planned for the future?
I can't spill the complete beans, but I'm gonna mess around and I'm gonna release a single. It'll probably, if I can find the right single and the right, you know, former crew of folks, it'll be something that I've already done, so I don't have to put that work into it. One of the Couchriff songs.
Okay, a cover song?
Yeah, I'll take one of the Couchriff cover songs. And release it as a single.
Mm-hmm.
And then... it'll have a conventional digital release, but the physical release will be like nothing you've ever seen before.
Interesting.
It will be weirder than my solo record. Really? And more fun and cuter and fucking more ridiculous and clever and more permanent yet more disposable.
Okay. That's a pretty wide range there. We'll I guess we'll have to wait and see.
When you actually see it, it will all make sense. And it's I think that it's pretty genius. It's a great idea. Basically, you know, I'm turning 50 this month, and I just have had.
What day's your 28th, right?
Yeah,
we talked about this. Yeah.
Terrible day to have.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. My daughter's the 28th as well.
God, you know what? Don't get her Christmas/birthday gifts.
No, never.
Once she's an adult, it's fine. But as a kid, that shit is scarring.
Yeah. See, my wife is the 30th.
Man.
I'm the 12th. So I got a couple weeks.
All December.
Yes.
All Decembers.
Yep.
Man, you guys got a
busy month.
One of you guys has to break it up and do a half birthday instead. Just like forego the actual birthday.
Well, we do. I have two boys too. They're not in December, but we do half birthdays for everybody.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, we're birthdaying all year.
Oh, that's wonderful. You guys should do quarterly. Fuck it.
That might be pushing it, but
that gets expensive.
Yeah. That's a little much.
We're going to have a birthday party in Seattle.
Okay.
I don't even know how to say it. It just seems so unnatural. The new variant, so long as that's not, doesn't derail us. We'll have a party with some music and stuff.
I just heard that's over in your area now, your state.
In New York, the Omicromny?
Omicromny
and Fitch?
Yep, it's making its way around, but we'll see how it goes.
Oh, that's great news. That's great news.
But yeah, so back in Seattle, because you're from Seattle, right, if I remember?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we talked about your history on the episode 12, so if people want to really get, you know, into your history, they can go listen to episode 12. But from what I remember, you're from Seattle.
I spent most all of my adult life there. Yeah.
Right.
I'm back. That's to what kid.
And you started getting in your bands and everything in Seattle.
Okay. That's when I moved there when I was 21, like 21 in a day, you know, basically.
Right.
Okay. That's where it all kind of happened. That's where I started to figure it out.
Right. Why'd you move to New York?
Oh, well, I got married. I got married to a New York gal.
Oh, so she brought you out to New York.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And I like it. I didn't, although I miss it now a little bit, or there are things about it that I miss, I didn't love living in the city. There's just a lot happening all the time. And with very little sort of escape from that sensory overload.
Mm-hmm.
So we bought a house upstate a few years ago. And luckily before the mass exodus, because prices went through the roof.
Tell me about it. I work in a building industry and it's crazy.
I mean, we're looking around like we would sell our house if there was anywhere to move to. You know,
you could sell your house right now pretty easily. The problem is finding somewhere else.
And we would make a grip of money too, but yeah, no dice.
Yeah.
Because you got to live somewhere. My dogs won't live in a tent, you know?
You're not going for that.
You won't have it. but yeah, that's how it happened. And I've grown to actually really like it here. It's a little cold sometimes. The extreme weather is still doesn't feel completely comfortable or natural to me.
Yeah, but. I'm in South Carolina, and this past week's been like in the 50s. I don't like it.
It was 52 degrees today, and that was like, wow. I just had a sweatshirt on.
Yeah, yeah.
But
you haven't had snow yet, right?
Oh, sure we have.
Oh, you have?
Okay. Yeah, no. We were in the 20s a few times already this winter, yeah.
That's rough. That's rough.
It's pretty cold, yeah.
So tell me a little bit about your, I want to talk to you about your videos a little bit that you've been doing, because since we've last spoke, you've really ramped those up and they're good. I enjoy watching them.
Thanks.
I mean, it looks like a lot of work you put into those. I mean, cause I'm thinking from the beginning, cause I know how it is lining guests up for this show. So I can't imagine lining up people to record themselves to play.
Well, you are right. First, thank you. They're a lot of fun to make, you know. I think I probably said this before. I never wanted a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't want a podcast. What I wanted, and I guess I didn't think that video footage was a podcast. I had an idea of what a podcast was. It was just audio, and that was it, right? Now people call anything a podcast, any kind of series a podcast.
Right.
So what the fuck do I know? But
yeah.
I never wanted a podcast. I wanted to do this sort of like abbreviated 10-minute talk show that was me on a couch with someone rapping about whatever, and we would play a cover song to a backing track. And that's how the first handful of episodes were. But when I moved upstate, it became really difficult, right? To do that, because what am I going to get someone to come to my house?
Right. They're not really just swinging on by.
No. Yeah. I'm 3 hours north of the city. I mean, I guess Albany is 45 minutes away, you know, bands play there, but still I'm going to get someone to give me that much time. Probably not.
Right.
Although, you know, Vivian Campbell, extremely trusting fella. I was put in touch with him and he was on one of the earliest versions of the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked him up from a venue and he got in a truck and just like went to an Airbnb with me, complete stranger.
First time you met him?
Never met him before.
Wow.
I was like, man, this guy really has a lot of faith in humanity.
Yeah. Wow.
So, I saw Alex Skolnick and Charlie Benante do, and maybe Ra from Suicidal. I don't remember who all was in it. They did a Rush video, like maybe in April or something of 2020. And I was like, that's awesome. That looks really cool. It sounds great. Everyone obviously was recording themselves at home. And I was like, I think I know how they did that. And I started thinking, like, I want to try to do this because I can't do what I was doing before. It already sort of transitioned into doing the podcast just out of necessity to be creative and keep the Couch Riffs thing moving forward. So I just called Alex up and I was like, how did you do that? And he told me, and I was like, okay, that's what I thought. And so yeah, basically it's kind of like building a cover song, right? Or recording in a studio if you're tracking individually.
Right.
Start with drums and then add everything. And, you know, the drummer can record to the original song. I've gotten pretty intricate with it now, where I usually have stems or tracks, at least, you know, individual tracks for people to track along to. We've got a real system worked out, me and Don Gunn.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a shitload of work.
Yeah.
Getting people committed is only the beginning, you know, because I don't, you know, like the 2 minutes to late night guys are killing it. They have a Patreon that is wildly successful And they can actually pay people to participate in their videos. But, you know.
What is this?
Do you know 2 Minutes to Late Night?
No, I don't think
so. They started doing it about the same time as I did, these videos.
So if I search that, I can find them?
Yeah, they're hilarious. They're all like metal.
Okay.
Like, you know, the host is this very funny guy, Jared, who wears corpse paint. And, you know, they've had tons of people on their in their videos. They're always, you know, they'll cover Prince and whatever, but they do metal versions of the songs.
Okay. I got to check that out.
Yeah, no, they do a great job. And so after I made my first one or two of these videos, I was like, I have to kind of set myself. Maybe actually it was right from the very beginning, because I recognized, like, okay, these guys are most everyone that does this type of thing, because there are a lot of people doing it, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
They record a cover song, and then everyone acts like they're playing along, and they make a video of themselves. And I'm
right.
I guess I'm of the opinion that that's great, and it's fun and entertaining for people, and I don't, you know, I enjoy to watch those things. But if I'm going to make something, like, I don't want to do that. I want to. You know, we were living through a period of time when no one was seeing live music unless someone was doing a streaming thing. And so I kind of saw this opportunity where I could have people record their part in a single take and videotape that take so that it wasn't this meticulously built track.
Right.
You know, it's it breathes a little bit, even though we record to a click, the track, you know, moves a little bit, you know, like we are actually playing together, because it's a single pass and no one is a machine.
Right.
I don't care how good you are, you know? And so that's how I do it, but it's hard to keep on pace. I can't hound people too hard because I don't have the resources to pay them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone that gets involved is doing it because it's fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've built a few charity videos. I just made one recently and released it this week.
Yeah, that Christmas one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. That's a fun one. Who is in that video? Because you're not in that, right?
I sing a verse.
Okay.
I wasn't intending to be in it. And that's kind of the direction I might move ultimately. That is almost entirely staffed with KSW employees. KSW is the rock radio station in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rock station that I grew up listening to my entire life. And it, you know, when the first time I heard music that I made played on that radio station, I was beside myself. And I've got to hear my music played on that station a number of times now, and every time it feels like the first time. It's incredible. So it was very cool to be able to be involved with making a charity video with them.
Is this the first time you worked with them? Like doing something?
They may have been involved in the Loaded record release where this was something that I helped organize. We did an auction for the veterans, the VA hospital. So our record release the entire thing was a benefit for the VA hospital.
Nice. Yeah. That's awesome.
So,
okay.
The charity that video is benefiting is called Coats for Kids. And basically, you know, I grew up poor, so this is something. I didn't always have a winter coat, man.
Right.
I was food stamps. I got free lunch at school. You know, it was grim. We didn't even have electricity all the time in the winter, and it was snow on the ground. It was freezing.
Mm. Yeah.
So I would boil water to bathe. It was pretty grim.
Mm.
So I feel pretty good about it. being able to help some kids.
Yeah, give back a little bit. That's great.
So it's a pretty awesome program. $20, a $20 donation buys a brand new coat for a kid. It's not a coat drive. They're not looking for coat donations. They want money. $20, like $100 buys 5 coats. Like you could put a coat on an entire family. And it's incredible. Like they worked it out with some manufacturer. They've got this, they just got it. They got it all worked out. And, It's in conjunction with a number of people, including the Washington State Firefighters Association, some other folks.
Is this something that's online? So if somebody wants to go donate, they can?
Absolutely.
Where would they go? Do you know?
They can go to the KSW website. They can go. There's a link in my YouTube video. And there's a link on my Instagram. If you go into the little link tree thing on my homepage or the couches page, it's the first link. If they want to go there, they can go donate.
Okay.
But yeah, $20. I mean, we all spend more than that on like flavored sparkling water every month, probably.
Yeah.
It's like, right. Buy a kid a coat. Don't even think about it. Don't think like, fuck, $20, you know, that really stings right now. Well, imagine being a kid without a coat.
Right. You go through the drive-thru tomorrow, it's $10 right there.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
That's a fact. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It feels good. Last year I was a part of a thing that was a benefit for Seattle Children's Hospital. And I had done like a fire relief thing before, and I just sort of, it felt really good. You know, it felt good to use the platform for a greater purpose. Mm-hmm. And, because I'm not, certainly not getting rich off of it. So, if I can put it to better service, if I could do both, that would be great also, just for the record.
Sure.
Just complete transparency. But, I don't foresee that happening.
Hey, you never know, right?
You never know.
You never know what could happen.
Get some of that Netflix money coming around or something. But yeah, it feels good. So I'm building a video. I'm one vocal away from being done with the most epic video I've ever done, and I'll never do anything like it again because I started it a year ago.
Is that the one? Did we talk about that one before?
I started it a year ago.
You're looking probably for vocalists?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's a benefit for Roadie Relief, and that was a classic example of, you know, I got some pretty famous vocalist signed up, you know, in May, maybe even April. Like I was at the finish line. I was ready for vocals, and it's November, and I'm still trying to get one the last one finished. So the two singers who were signed on back then, that would have been great, but they sat on it for a couple months and then just, you know, kind of petered off.
Do you have to pull the plug sometimes? Like, are you the one saying, look, I gotta move on?
I'm the only one, man. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's, you know, it's a drag because I get, you know, I'm invested in all of these things, but especially the benefits, you know?
Yeah.
And it's hard to, you know, I can't expect people to be as enthusiastic about these things as I am.
Sure.
Although you're surprised some people are.
Sure. Sure.
And so I really have to like put the governor on, you know, my expectations and how I communicate with people about it. You know, I can't, it's not like reaching out to customer service, like, hey, where the fuck is my fucking package, man?
Right.
You know, It just isn't, you know. Also, we're dealing with artists, and so
yeah, you know. And I'm sure a lot of them, especially now that things have opened up, are getting pretty busy, I would imagine.
Sure, yeah. People, not a lot of people weren't busy back then, though. But anyway, you know, the thing is, again, I can't pay people, so I can't expect the world from them.
Right, right. Let me ask you this. And I noticed you play bass and guitar. So yeah. When do you decide which one you want to play?
Sort of through the depending on how the song is, what the genesis of the cover is. Like, if I'm talking to a bass player and we're working out, I'm like, hey, let's build a song together. Then obviously they'll play bass, or maybe not. You know,
right?
I'm always up for something unexpected. So if there's already a bass player, then I'll play guitar. Okay. And I can play the guitar. I'm a fine guitar player.
Which one do you prefer?
Oh, I've been having a lot of fun playing bass, man.
Because bass is the best.
I love it, dude. You
can tell I'm a bass player here.
Yeah. I love it. It was the first instrument that I ever gigged on.
Yeah.
And so for whatever reason, I still feel more comfortable on stage playing bass. It also resonates, a stage, vibrates a stage much differently. And it just feels different. But yeah. There's nothing like having two half stacks behind you blasting almost. I like playing loud music.
Yeah.
But the videos come together just by brainstorming. I have a playlist on Spotify that's, you know, starts, you know, covers everything. There's,
sure.
There's everything on there.
That's where you pick your songs from?
Yeah, I send that to people and say, hey, if there's a song here, pick a song. If there's a song on here that inspires another idea, like, throw that back at me.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'll try to put something together.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. That's it. I'm pretty excited. There's a bunch of videos that are just like one performance away from being done. And that's all. It's always the case. Like, I'm building 15 videos at any given time.
I really enjoyed your Rat cover recently.
Oh, thank you.
I think we spoke about that before. And the drummer, who was the drummer on that? Because they went off on a couple spots.
Nathan Ricks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Matrix. So he picked that song. So that song started with him. I reached out to him and I was like, I love your drumming. I would love it if you would be in one of these videos. Are you interested? Would you be into it? And he was like, yeah, let's do it. So I sent him that big playlist and he was like, God, there's a lot of stuff on here. So I was like, okay, let me make it easy for you. Let me pick five songs and you pick one from there. And it came down to either that or a King's X song. And he picked that. And it's got a really filthy groove to it, but he is great. And he definitely made it his own also.
He did.
I don't want to spoil it, but when I first heard it, and when a lot of the other people, like when Doug heard it, he was like, what's going on here? Because he flips things around in the chorus. It goes completely sideways. And I can't. And at first I was like, oh man, I shouldn't have told him to just have free reign, you know, like take as many liberties as you like, which is what I usually tell everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty, you know, I'm relatively selective with who I have on. So if I say take as many liberties as you want, I know that someone's not going to jack off all over the track.
Right. Right.
And, so he sent the thing back and I was like, wow, this is out there. As the track came together, like, I can't actually hear it any other way now. I really love it.
It's fantastic. I was not expecting. I was expecting, you know, more towards the traditional, just that song.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the first time he went off, I was like, whoa, what the hell? And then the more I listen to it, it works.
Yeah. And the end of it is just like, it's bananas.
Yeah. But I really enjoyed that one. Oh, and then I enjoyed the Rod Stewart one.
William.
That was awesome. That's a fun one.
William Duvall of Alice in Chains is who we're talking about. And he's just got, what a voice, man.
Amazing.
And that song is amazing.
Yeah.
That song actually got some radio play.
Nice.
Can you believe that?
That's awesome.
That's crazy.
Maybe you need to do that one as a single.
Well, it's got the drummer. It's got Ronnie Vannucci from The Killers on it. And I don't know if I could actually. I don't know if I could.
Yeah, I imagine to release one of those as a real single, you'd have to get a lot of approvals.
Yeah.
With all these players in it.
Yeah. I don't think Ronnie would make he's an old friend of mine. I knew him a few years before that band ever was a thing. But I don't think he would make a fuss about it. I don't know if he's got.
Right. I know what you mean.
Contract obligations. It would. Anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I know William. Okay. But I don't know how that would be approaching him. I don't think. The other guys would probably be fully down.
Yeah.
I think most people would want to do it just so they could get this fucking weird format of how I want to release it.
Now, since we last spoke too on this show, you came out with another podcast, Golden Shower of Hits, right?
Yeah.
Because you didn't have that one back then, I don't think.
No.
Yeah. So tell me about this one a little bit.
At the most unlikely time possible, when COVID first hit and everyone had lost their minds, the shit hit the fan at my work and my salary got cut in half. So I was like, well, what the fuck am I going to do? You know, like I can't get unemployment like everyone else because I still have a job, which I still resent my work for a little bit. But I'm like, I just have to fucking work for months for half the money. So I had to get a second full-time job. So I was working like 17 hours a day and commuting 3 hours a day between the two jobs and home, back to back. So I'd get up at 4 a.m. and I'd get home at midnight and I would sleep for 4 hours and wash, rinse, repeat. So
it's brutal. You do what you got to do though.
It was really brutal. Yeah. It's totally. It's actually, it has a pretty happy ending because through that, I kind of thrive when I'm being throttled. You know, like I'm pretty good at suffering. So, I'm not into defeat.
Right.
So I was like, all right, well, I could let this get the best of me, but I'm not going to stop doing couch riffs. And at the time I was releasing 2 couch riffs podcasts a week.
Yeah. That's nuts. Just during one is rough for me.
Yeah. I mean, one feels hard for me, right? I didn't release one this week.
Yeah.
Like once a year, I take a week off. And this week, I took one off. I had a bunch of
technical. Yeah, I took the holidays off. I think I'm taking a week or two in Christmas, too.
I'm hoping that a lot of podcasts do so I can hit the charts. Not only did I continue producing 2 episodes a week for Couch Riffs, I was like, fuck it, I'm going to start a new podcast. And I also, during that period of time, I released the that Young Turks video, the one with William and Ron. That was during that period of time. So I was sleeping four hours a night, and then on the weekend, I got all that shit done.
Wow.
Kudos to you, man. Well, most people think that I'm crazy for doing that, and they're probably right. You know, it probably wasn't the best thing overall, but when I got to the end of that period, and I could quit my second job and get my regular salary, I had what felt like boundless energy. I had so much energy. You know, I was sleeping 6 hours a night then, and I could get so much done, and I have not slowed my pace. Yeah. So
you got to be moving.
It was pretty, it's incredible. Yeah. I'm not a big, like, sit on my hands guy.
Yeah. No, I can tell with all the shit you do.
And I don't know. I have a bunch of ideas. They're all a little weird. Most of them are pretty unconventional.
Yeah. That's most fun, of them though.
Are very, well, that's the thing. It's like, all right. I guess I realize, you know, I'm not a fucking businessman. Like, I'm not going to come up with, you know, I'm not going to invest in some fucking upcoming crypto.
I don't give a fuck.
By the time it's worth anything, I'll be dead.
Right.
So, I just want to have fun, man. So all these silly ideas, you know, I've had these like funny, silly ideas my whole life. I've had this ridiculous idea for over 20 years, and I'm actually doing it now.
Yes.
Because there's actually technology to support this ridiculous idea that I had.
You were ahead of the game. You just you couldn't make it happen.
Technology caught up, and now following through on this really ridiculous idea. And it's totally an inside joke between me and a handful of friends. And I one day I'm just gonna show up with it.
I think I know what it is. I think.
Yeah.
You've talked about it before.
I have indeed. All right.
I won't mention it, but
I'll say it. It's theme song jacket.
Yes, the jacket.
And that's what it is. It's a jacket that plays your theme song. Everyone has their own theme song if they want it.
That's how you got your intro song, right? Wasn't that your theme song?
I wish I had the little thing. I had this thing. It was made by Boss, maybe, or Roland. It's called a PMA. And when I was touring with Harvey Danger 21 years ago, I had this little thing, and it looked like it's called a personal music assistant. And it was kind of like a Palm Pilot, but thick.
Okay.
It had little digital keys, and you play it with a stylus, and you program it as like a sequencer, like a 4-track sequencer. For people who are not musicians, it's basically like a synthesizer that you can record, program the parts, multi-track and program parts. And I wrote all this funny music. It's all cheesy 80s synth sounds. And I wrote the theme to Mike Squires. I thought it was hilarious. And it's like really corny. And for a while, I was using the actual version. I just dumped the tracks out of that little digital box into Logic. And I should probably have Don remix it for me, so that it sounds actually sounds good. But that's how the theme song came to the podcast. I had given up prematurely, obviously, on theme song jacket. So I don't know if I'll get a new theme song for Couch Riffs or if they'll just coexist as both theme songs, mine and Couch Riffs.
That works.
But, you know, The joke of it, because it's a joke, the joke of it is that I would offer this service, you know, bespoke, bespoke theme songs. Like, send me a bio and have some testimonials from some friends and tell me what kind of music you like, what kind of movies you like, all this kind of crap.
Right.
And then I write a theme song for you. And then we get you either send me a jacket and I install the technology, and then I write and record this theme song for you, and then you have this jacket. When you walk into a room, it plays like as if you were entering a scene of a movie, which is like, just
for some reason, I think I got a feeling you're going to make that work.
Oh no, it's going to happen. I'm hoping I'll have mine ready for my birthday.
Oh, that soon.
Oh fuck, man. I've got like half the components I've got here. Yeah.
Wow.
On my table. I see them here. I'm not going to share them with you because I don't want anyone to steal this
keep that secret.
Highly classified technology. This is, you know.
That's great. That's great.
I just figure if you can't have fun and laugh and whatever, I'm sure that there are plenty of people who think that the record that I made is a ridiculous waste of time. And if they've gotten this far, surprise, theme song jacket is worse. It's more. So surprise. but I just want to have fun, you know.
That's what you need to do. I mean, you say same with me, and not everybody agrees with me on that. But you know what? I'm having fun.
That's it.
Yeah.
I have a job.
Yep.
I have a job. I could, you know, I'm not getting rich at my job, like most Americans. You know,
I
can pay my mortgage, and you know,
I'm awesome, man.
I'm cozy. I got my feet are warm. So everything else, like, I don't know if Couch Riffs can grow and become something bigger. I would love it. I would love that. I would love so much to be able to focus all of my energy into creating ridiculous, entertaining things. Like, I have plenty of ideas.
I think you can do it. I mean, it's growing from what.
Not enough time, you know. Yeah,
time gets in the way sometimes, but you can do it.
Yeah, I feel like if I had a 30-hour day, you know, if I had a 30-hour day,
just a few more,
I might be able to get everything done that I want to.
I don't think we can make that happen, though. We're gonna have to figure the 24 thing out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm a party pooper.
All right, Mike. Well, listen. Oh, and another thing, your website is up now, couchriff.com.
Yeah, website.
Yeah. So people can go there and get all your videos, right?
All the videos are there. All the podcasts are there. The link to number two record is there. And the one short music video is there. I have a concept for a music video for this album, and it's a music video of the entire album.
Nobody's done a video for a full album, I don't think.
No, people have made individual videos for every song.
Right.
But I don't think anyone has done.
You're going to be the first.
Complete album. And it is a complete album, but also a live performance and a theater performance with multiple set changes. If you can imagine, in the course of 3 minutes, it would have a ridiculous number of set changes, costume changes, personnel changes, all live in a single take.
Man.
And so, and if you hear the record, then you start to understand the weight of a project like that. But that is a project that will cost a lot of money. And so I gotta get this record paid for, you know.
Yeah,
my pre-sales have done really well for me. You know, I got probably half my money back so far.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I hired a publicist, and it just didn't
work out.
Lesson learned, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't need to do that. That was a waste of money, and it was a lot of money. So, but now I know. And right. So I don't know how I'm going to fund that if by some miracle, once the book actually starts shipping, people enjoy it, and I can do a Kickstarter or something like that, then I will. And Whitey McConaughey has already signed on to do the video. The big concept was actually his.
Okay.
He made all the early Red Fang videos.
Okay.
And a bunch of other videos, which are some of my favorites. And they're all like kind of, you know, they're all campy, lo-fi, very, you know, prop driven.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's a clever guy.
That's perfect. Awesome. That's exciting. Hopefully you can make it happen.
I hope so.
Yeah.
You know, it's just this pesky time and money thing.
That time, yeah, and money too.
It always getting in the way of all my great ideas.
Damn it.
I got probably truly great ideas, like ideas that are actually truly great.
Uh-huh.
Don't cost money. Don't take a lot of time and make a lot of money. But I've never had that idea yet.
You haven't got there yet?
I'm probably never gonna. Spoiler alert. I'm too busy.
Never say never.
Fucking
never
say too busy never. Working on theme song jacket.
Jacket's gonna be a hit.
Oh, I mean, I think... you know, I mean... If I could convert, like if I could somehow get hooked up in one of these, like, what do you call the imitation reality? What is that with
the
what do you call that shit?
AI?
You know, where people put the glasses and the goggles.
The artificial intelligence stuff. The virtual reality.
Virtual VR, yeah. So yeah, if I could get hooked up and sell some of these as non-fungibles, you know, like, oh, your avatar in the virtual world has a theme song jacket, it's, you know, we're gonna fucking pimp you out. I might be able to sell these things for 25 grand. I mean, fuck, what do I know? I don't know. I just got to get hooked up with some 17 year old app developer that can make it happen.
Make it happen for you. Yeah.
Yeah, I need a genius to ride on their coattails.
I wish I could help you. All right, man. Well, listen, it was great talking to you. This is the first video of the Rock and Roll and Coffee Show as well.
Is that right?
It is. We'll see how it comes out.
You look great.
It looks a little bright in here, doesn't it?
It's wonderful.
Okay. I don't know where to look. I'm getting confused.
Really?
Yeah, I can look this, at the camera. Look at
my thing. It looks, it's like artsy. Like I'm, it's all blurry as it goes back. It's like, I don't know how that happened.
I don't know. When I'm talking to you, do I look at you? Because usually you look somebody in the eye, right? But if I look at you, I'm not looking at the camera.
That's okay. Because here's the thing. I'm looking across at you. And so on the video, I know this from experience, on the video, yeah. You know, it looks like we're looking at each other. When you look straight at the camera, you're looking at the viewer.
Yeah, I got to get better at this.
You're doing great.
All right, man. Well, listen, I appreciate it. Hang out for a second. Don't hang up. Okay.
Okay. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. I appreciate the opportunity to spout off about my stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think I told you before, you know, I back in the day, I used to have what I called Coffee Stain Radio. It was kind of like a podcast before podcasts. But after listening to Couch Riffs, that's what made me decide, well, you know what? Why don't I do a podcast? So you inspired me to do this show.
You're going to make me get all misty.
But that's yeah. Awesome. So, and I still listen to the show. So
you're like, if this asshole can do it, I can do it.
I was like, if he can do this, then no, man. All right, Mike. Well, listen, don't hang up, like I said. And thank you everybody for listening. Tune in to our newly created YouTube channel and for weekly updates.
That's all for this week. Join us next week for another episode of the Rock and Roll and Coffee Show podcast. Available on all your favorite podcast listening platforms.